Can you stop
that with the breathing constantly? In and out?
My mic was like in the back of my tonsils, so hear me.
It's sort of a tracheotomy.
Wow, I got a mic or an adult novelty.
It's Thursday, January 13th, 2011. This is the PC Gamer Podcast, number 255. I'm Senior Editor Evan Lotti, and I'm joined today by Logan Decker, esteemed Editor-in-Chief of PC Gamer.
Good afternoon.
Andy Bauman, Podcast Producer. Oh, wait, he's silence.
Wah, wah, wah.
Hi, Andy. He's not talking today, but I want to include him anyway. Chris Comiskey, Word Police for PC Gamer Magazine.
Omo B. Tuna.
Thank you. And introducing to the PC Gamer Podcast, Anthony Valva, our newest intern all the way from Texas.
Hey, everybody. How y'all doing today?
Very good. I believe Anthony wore cowboy boots on his first day.
Yes, I did. It's kind of a tradition.
Strangely
what?
Enough.
I didn't notice. That's awesome.
Not the first intern to do that.
Wait. He's from Texas. I didn't hear about this. Where in Texas are you, Anthony?
San Angelo, Texas.
San Angelo. I'm in Dallas, sir. You could have just came over to my house and we could have podcasted together.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Texas was kind of a big state.
Don't lie, it's a big state. I don't think
isn't like next door, doesn't that mean like in a different zip code?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like 4 hours through the desert.
Yeah. Next door here is like 2.5 hours away.
Right.
And we're very happy to welcome back special guest Brian Brushwood, lifelong PC Gamer, the PC Gamer Podcast. He's the host of the NSFW show on twit.tv, which was named a top audio podcast of 2010 by iTunes itself. He's also the host of Scam School on revision3.com. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, man, it's good to be back. Texas represent.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I guess so.
Is that three Texans? Because I'm from Austin.
Ugh, you can have it, man. I'll trade you.
What's wrong with Austin's awesome?
Austin is good. Awesome. Austin is sort of like outside of Texas, though. It's almost like how Washington, D.C. is sort of a separate type of area than, you know, Virginia. So it's sort of like Austin is its own little autonomous nation inside of an otherwise very reprehensible state. I'm sorry, everyone else in Texas. Not to be offensive, I just don't like
this. This is starting to sound like Fallout lore.
It is.
Weird. So
I'm not stamping this propaganda.
Okay. Actually, I do have a bone to pick with Brian. Your book, Cheats, Cons, Swindles, and Tricks, 50 yes. Ways to Scam a Free Drink, which yes. you were kind enough to leave for me. I have never come off as a bigger fool ever since I started trying to pull some of these things. I'm an oaf. I say things wrong. I give it away at the beginning. I drop things. It's just I've tried to look cool so many times. And every single time, I look like a complete oh, I was going to use a bad word that's actually... No, I'm not going
to
say that.
Makes you feel any better, I made sure to put in those books the very simplest tricks I could possibly find.
Am I still bleeding? He got me right out of it.
Logan, how many of those have you tried?
Like about 15. And every time I screw it up.
You didn't have a single success?
Well, I don't have a great memory, so it's like, I'm like, okay, so in this trick, I'm going to hide this card behind my hand. Oh, wait, no, hold on, okay, you know, so that's why I think my best bet is just to carry a knife.
There you go.
You know what I mean? That's the best way for me, personally, to get a free drink. Like, I have this knife, and you have two orbital sockets.
Right. That's a great way to get
to be left
free
with one orbital socket.
Too. Yeah.
You know, why don't you buy me a drink?
that's like the best.
I've actually lost money.
Okay, that's hilarious.
I don't understand what my problem is. I thought Asians were supposed to be super nimble and ninja-like, and I just don't have it.
You're not Asian. You're American.
Well, no, but you know the whole DNA thing, right? I got to have some ninja blood. I mean, I have to. Like,
I don't
mathematically.
I don't think that's a genome. I think that's like a profession.
Dude, hi, you were not a biology major, so
that's
I know what I'm talking
true.
About.
Yeah, all right.
All right, so now that we're warmed up, Brian actually just got off the plane here in San Francisco in his various travels, and he was at CES last week.
Yeah, I covered it for the twit.tv network, which was a lot of fun. I'd never done the whole CES experience before. I'd done E3 several times, though. And it was really weird for me because before there was E3, I guess CES was the big game show, right?
Yeah. Maybe 12 years ago or something,
well,
I think.
Well, I can report that it's not anymore.
Back when dinosaurs ruled the Earth, remember that? That was awesome.
Although there was some good stuff there. I mean, non-game related stuff, it was neat to see the MakerBot, which is this wood and metal contraption that makes ABS plastic tchotchkes out of, out of this giant database of things you can download or make your own. But the stuff I did like, Razer had a really good presence there. They had two things. They had their Sixth Sense controller, which they're calling the Hydra, which they were playing a special build of Portal 2 on. And I honestly don't know how much of my affection is for the actual device and how much is for just the giddiness of watching somebody play Portal 2. But it's basically, imagine you're holding kind of two Wiimotes, but their big thing that they said is that because there's a electromagnetic generator right in front of it, they're able to determine absolute position, not relative position. So there's no getting off track or having to reset it or point it the right way. And I found it interesting that their partnership with Valve has entire levels of Portal 2 that you cannot even play, much less solve, without this particular kind of controller. So you would reach over, you'd use a gravity gun to pick up one of those regular Aperture Science boxes, but then you would pull your hands apart and all of a sudden they would get wider, and then you'd rotate it and then pull your hands apart again and it would get taller, and as it actually grew, it would grow in mass as well, allowing you to, let's say, if you drop a small box, it won't break through a glass pane, but if you make the box really big, all of a sudden it flops right down. So that was really cool to see, although I just wonder, as you guys know, it's a chicken and egg thing. It's like you can have an awesome controller, but if no games take advantage of it, there's nothing to it. So
yep.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's just a novel one-off or not, but I'll tell you what was definitely novel was the Switchblade from Razer as well. Did you guys see that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked about that. Very dramatic video that they put out, but yeah, you actually saw it there in person. It was a prototype version, but
unfortunately, they didn't show any live play. There was sort of a slideshow on it, but it was neat to see all the icons change on the keyboard. And the most significant thing that I thought about the whole thing was that they wanted to actually fundamentally transform the UI for games, where let's say for World of Warcraft, instead of watching your icons slowly start to glow on the screen to indicate that you're charged up, it would happen on the keyboard. So if the keyboard became a source of information, that could definitely be a game changer. And they also said that in the prototype builds they're doing, that they were planning on offering, if this comes to market, they're definitely playing with always on 3G internet. So the idea being that as you do your daily commute, you'll be able to get in your MMOs or your World of Warcraft.
Hey, Brian, did they happen to throw around a price point out of curiosity?
No. They were very squirrely about that for sure.
And that was our main question last week when we were discussing it.
Yeah, in fact, for a lot of that stuff, it's amazing to me, and you can see what a concept show the CES is, because so often, the two questions were always pricing and availability, and to be honest, I only got answers for about half the time from those.
Yeah.
And I guess the only other thing that was the big announcement from a PC perspective was the 1-2 punch of Microsoft announcing that Windows 8 would function on ARM processors, and then NVIDIA announcing their Project Denver for high-end ARM processors to basically take on Intel head-to-head for the desktop market.
Yeah, just on a base level, that just means more competition, which is good news. Potentially more fragmented architecture and, not sure what the standard is in the future. Windows 8, they're talking about 2013, I think, or 2012.
So speaking of which, actually, and I don't know, I'd love to get all of your perspective on this. My prediction is that the next 2 or 3 years are going to be very, very good for PC gaming, because essentially this past year, instead of seeing a refresh of the consoles, which we've always seen in that development cycle, everybody built camera toys instead. So yep. Now, yep. How many, was it 4 or 5 generations behind on the Xbox 360? It's the gap is going to be bigger than ever for PC versus console.
And that's why Microsoft is slowly shifting its huge bulk, back in the direction of PC gaming, which, elicits groans from a lot of people, but you know, like you said, now's the time. The consoles are getting very, very on in years, but no one wants to jump into a new console generation fight.
No.
You know, it's just so expensive, and so that's not going to happen for years.
Well, I guess on that topic as well, I did see some third-party creating a Kinect-like for the PC.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I want to control everything with Kinect. Mm-hmm. I want to control my pets with Kinect.
Didn't Microsoft confirm that Kinect will be on the PC sometime in the future?
Yeah, they also made that announcement, but they didn't, you know, obviously they didn't have anything there to display at the show, whereas these other guys, I mean, it's shocking how much exactly like a Kinect this other one did. I forgot their name, unfortunately. Oh, there was also a really neat I forget their name. I want to say XI something, but it was a company that had a full desktop PC that you could hold in your fist. It basically,
what?
They had this new architecture where they broke the motherboard into three pieces. So instead of picture regular size of a, you know, of a small form factor motherboard, and picture it, you know, cracked into three joints and folded up. So you had the motherboard curving around almost inside this little cube. And right out of the box, you know, it had you just plug it into the monitor and the keyboard, had two USB ports, and then if you wanted to expand its properties, you would just get a little add-on that you, almost like Legos, you would just stack it on top of it. So that was really cool as well.
You're describing the entire culture of the Borg. This is how it started.
That sounds like there were a few motherboards way, way long time ago. They had kind of like daughter boards. Same sort of idea. It's almost like going back to that, only back then. Geez, Logan, do you remember what computers those were? I think those were like IBM days where you could have add-on daughter boards, etc. But now it's like obviously much smaller. They're enormous back in, you know, the mid-90s.
Well, the nice thing about these is that they're so small and so discreet and so cool looking that it kind of is killing any chance that I'll buy a boxy box or a Roku box for my living room. And instead, I'd love to just throw a full PC on there.
Yeah, definitely. The wireless video card, that was pretty trippy.
Yeah,
I didn't see that one coming
either.
Yeah, I don't know if that was at CES. It was announced today, but was that?
Oh, that's right. It might not have been. I'm very, very skeptical about that though, because I'm not for just normal movie viewing or anything like that. But if you're talking gaming, you know, it's hard for me to believe that they can push that much data wirelessly at an impressive resolution for the PC.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying 1920 by 1080.
I find that I struggle to believe that.
So I'm still actually struggling to figure out what the situation is from a consumer standpoint that you would need a wireless video card. Maybe there's like some a museum or something has like a presentation situation where they're rendering a lot of stuff in 3D or whatever. But
I think it's one of the handful of barriers to getting the PC into the living room.
I see.
It makes
a lot of noise. It really does. I mean, frankly, the thing is, I'm so used to PC noise, I just screen it out these days. But and so I forget that most people don't. They're like, what is that beast? You know?
Yeah, they're used to consoles like the PS3 and Xbox
which is why the thing that Brian brought up about the ARM processors, you know, which are much smaller, take much less power. That's another way to get into the living room, you know, because they don't need that much cooling, you know, and they don't have a nervous breakdown, you know, when you get, you know, start doing two, three things at once and the processor's going and the GPU's going.
Evan, to kind of build off that, this isn't very much to do with gaming, but those wireless GTX, I think it was a 460, wasn't it?
It was a 460, yeah.
Yeah, those would be ideal for like digital signage where, you know, you want to have like these intensive video signals thrown to like a video wall or something. I mean, it's having worked in that industry, it's a pain in the ass to use wires. So I could see it really making an impact there.
But plus, the guy who did all that stuff in the Saw movies, I think that was probably what he was using, right?
Oh, he would love it. He'd be like,
there were no wires and stuff, so I would imagine that you could torture people and stuff.
So before we wrap up the CES stuff, my one favorite thing actually had nothing to do with PCs or PC gaming. It was a company that has a speaker that you screw into your light bulb socket of your lamp. And it wirelessly, so it's powered by the lamp, and then our house.
Sorcery! That's sorcery! Awesome. Burn that man as a witch!
You can freak people out. Hey, can you turn on the light for me? And like, you have like rock music playing. Like, oh my god!
That's
the lamp
awesome.
Is possessed! That's great.
Wow. I'm a fan of that.
Who made it? Do you remember?
I don't even recall. I could describe their booth perfectly, though. It was like something like the Sound of Light or something.
Socket. In fact, I name it the Socket Rocket.
The Socket Rocket.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Beautiful. Yeah, going back to the Sixth Sense real quick. I mean, this is really the first time, actually it's the second time that Valve has sort of endorsed a peripheral. I mean, they did the Novan Falcon, and they're one of the only companies to have sort of out-of-the-box connectivity or functionality with Half-Life and other source engines.
Here's the great thing with the Razer partnership is they're a big company. They've got a huge footprint. Mm-hmm. They're in for the long haul, whereas the Novan Falcon was pretty much a one peripheral company. And if it, you know, I loved it. I loved that thing. I still do. But it was just tough for them to build up, you know, enough games to justify buying a $250 controller.
And they're also, I guess they're actually doing a bundle with Portal 2 and the controller.
That is awesome. That is wonderful.
I don't think the price is announced yet, but that's a little unprecedented too.
Plus, Razer makes good stuff.
I tell you, the Sixth Sense controller, it looked very precise and it looked like he was going to have a good time. Unfortunately, we couldn't get hands-on. They just had somebody demoing it. But I almost wonder, so much of when I picture PC gaming, I picture sitting in the chair with your left hand WASD, your right hand on a mouse. I almost wonder if I'm not going to be willing to sit all the way up straight and hold my hands up in front of the screen for extended periods of time.
Yeah, we're going to be... No, we're definitely going to be looking forward to testing that and just seeing what the comfort level is. I'm hesitant to, of course, you know, with all the Rock Band instruments and people complaining about those cluttering up their living rooms. I'm hesitant to welcome a bunch of more peripherals on my desk. But
plastic item fatigue.
Yeah. Pretty much. So, all right. Thanks for the CS wrap up there, Brian. Glad to have some actual impressions from the floor. That's a great benefit to the podcast. The biggest release come out this week, of course, was DC Universe Online, launched on Tuesday morning. The servers went open, and really, really smooth launch. I've been in there. Josh has been in there as well, but of course, he's out of the office today, unfortunately, on another project. But I was able to talk to Josh yesterday, get his impressions about DC Universe for you guys. And Andy, if you can cue up that for us, that'd be excellent. So as I mentioned, Josh is actually out of the office today. He's our MMO expert, as you guys know. He's visiting Blizzard, of all places, gathering up a very exciting interview for us that you'll be hearing about in the magazine in a month or two. But anyway, he's been hard at work playing DC Universe Online, getting ready for our review, taking the time to put that in. He's not hurrying it. And I want to get his impressions on the game, because obviously he's played more than any of us. And he knows more about the genre than any about it. Of us. So I'm recording this on Wednesday, right before we record our podcast tomorrow, and I do have Josh here with me right at the end of the day, thank goodness. Managed to keep him around. And so Josh, I know you're playing a villain. Just tell us a little bit about your hero, how much time you spent with the game, and what you think so far.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I was there at launch. I actually woke up at 6 a.m. and waited around until the game launched at 8. Spent the next 4 hours in the character creator. I couldn't decide which villain to go with. I was trying to come up with some really clever, because Dan always comes up with the cleverest names. I wanted him to be impressed. But I ended up just going with one that made me and my wife laugh a whole bunch, which is just Cat's Pajamas. Basically, it's... I picked the largest body size and just made it look super fashionable and basically an arrogant jerk. It's the way I like [S2] Nice. [S1] To think of it. Yeah, and let's see. I ended up playing probably about, after the character creator stuff, probably 12 hours in the actual game itself. Played until about 1 in the morning. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. I picked different powers, different combat styles than I did in the beta. So I was a little wary at first, but after, you know, I started getting all the combos and stuff like that, I really started to pick up pace. The servers were incredibly stable. I was really impressed for a launch. Launch days, you know, there was a queue, so it was popular, you know, but the server was never crashing. It never crashed me all day. But yeah, I had a fantastic time. I got up to level 15. Like I've said before, kind of, I just love how this game guides you through stories rather than you go to a town and maybe someone asks you to go collect 15 of this or whatever. Like, this is, no, you're along a story towards, like, a final climactic battle at every step of the way. So the first one I did, I was following Joker. He was my mentor. So the first one I did, what was it? I think it was, what was the first one?
Anyway, the second one
I remember was against Bane. And so, you know, I'm going out, you know, beating up Bane's thugs, you know, cranking their venom to high so, like, their heads explode and stuff. And then it works all the way up until I'm finally battling Bane. And it's just so much fun. The thing that really surprised me, it still surprises me every time, is just how evil some of these quests, like, make you feel. Because, you know, in like, WoW, you know, you have the good side and the, you know, good but misunderstood bad side, quote-unquote. And this, like, no, I'm, as the Joker, I'm going into a police station, I'm beating up cops, tying them in present boxes, and lighting them on fire and watching them die. Like, that's pretty damn evil.
I'd say.
Yeah, and I just had this moment around, I wasn't sure if you were going to be able to fight Batman and Joker and kind of these big, you know, epic bosses. Level 14, I got this mission from Joker. He told me, hey, you know, the police are having this big ball tonight. It's their police ball. You know, their headquarters is, you know, it's underguarded. I need you to march in there and, you know, take it over. So I'm like, all right, I show up. There's a bunch of clown goons kind of hiding in the corner. So I kind of lead in and they're like, they start rallying behind me. We go through, we're punching up the place, but it's tough because, you know, it's a police headquarters. There's cops and lieutenants and all sorts of crazy weaponry everywhere. But finally go through, take over the police headquarters. We're trashing the place. The clowns start picking up the loot and start running out the door with it. And Joker's like, all right, now come join me over at the ball. You know, we got to crash this party. So I go over there. You know, another group of clowns are there. We go through. We punch in. You know, they're dancing on the floor. You know, they pull out guns. We start fighting. Finally take them out until I get to the back room. And there's Joker battling Batman with, like, hostages tied up in the corner. And it's just like, this is exactly like from the movies or the cartoons or whatever. Like, and suddenly Joker needs my help. You know, cause so it's 2v1, we're beating on Batman, Joker gets trapped in a cage, you know? It's like an electric force cage or whatever. Batman has the remote, so I have to beat up Batman and fight him till I can take the remote, disable the Joker, and the whole time, you know, Joker's laughing, ha ha ha, you know, good thing I brought a friend, or whatever. So it's like, it felt so good, and then finally, you know, we beat him up, you know, Harley busts through the door, Batman has to escape through the skylights on a grappling hook, and we go chasing after him. Like, it just felt so immensely awesome. It was exactly the sort of quest that I had hoped would be in this game. And I was only level 15, and the level cap is 30. So, I mean, I'm really excited to keep going.
It's interesting, because I remember, you know, like, more than a year ago, when we knew very little about DC Universe, we were sort of making fun of, like, oh, you get to wash Batman's car, or whatever. But I guess we never took into account, like, the idea that you actually get to fight these iconic characters, so... That's a bonus, yeah.
Yeah, it's really surprising how well they... Because, I mean, you could do it very poorly, just trying to make you feel important in really cheap ways, but they do a really good job of creating these stories. And I think the key is these storylines that guide you through specific stories, and then you finish the story, then you move to a different story. Maybe you go take on Scarecrow next or something like that, or Supergirl. I fought a really cool storyline against her. Yeah, it's really fun. The voice acting is fantastic. Like, half the cast of Firefly is voice actors. Yep. Jane is Superman. Zoe is Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun hearing all those voices in there. It's probably the best voice acted MMO I've heard. Like Tor, the whole thing is voice acted, and so it's pretty fun.
Yeah, that wasn't exactly something they went out of their way to tell people about. But, you know, I want to ask you to give your entire evaluation about the game. This is, you know, of course, Josh is sort of his evaluation in progress. You're only about halfway through the level cap and whatnot. But I'm wondering if there's just a couple things you can highlight. Something that you've noticed that you don't like about the game so far, and maybe something that impresses you compared to other MMOs in particular.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I'm not sure these will be a surprise for most people, but, you know, because it is a console, a cross-platform title, the UI is lazy. It's very lazily done. It's obvious that it is meant to work for the PS3 as well as the PC. I don't know if they're going to be releasing, like, add-on kits so people can customize the UI, or if they'll be improving it, you know, after launch, but they really need to, because the UI is so nested and it's so complicated just to find out what to do. But that said, the thing I really like about it is the things that they let you do are really, really cool. you just don't realize it at first. Like, I was trying to figure out how to make a league, which is the equivalent of a guild. It's super easy. You have three people. You form a group, so you just invite two people. You can form a league right there. Just enter the name, bam, you have a league. The control system, like the tools that let you do for managing who can do what in the league and all that sort of stuff, are fantastic. The UI is just terrible. It's hard to do, but you can do really cool things with it. So I really hope they let people add on, because the players will make infinitely better stuff than the developers ever can, just because it'll be fine-tuned for every type of player out there. And of course, the combo system. If you don't know the attacks, you have an ability bar like you do in most MMOs, but those are essentially kind of, you know, they're more like your cooldown abilities. Your main attacks, most of the time, whether it's a caster or whatever, is your left and right mouse button, which is, you know, melee attack and ranged attack. And a lot of it is built on combos that you learn. So, like, left hold, fast hit, you know, and you can juggle opponents where, like, you punch, and then you hit them into the air. And when you get that combo, like, right, like, three times in a row, sometimes you can juggle the NPC, like, three times in the air, and so they never even touch the ground before they die. It's difficult to pull off, but I really love just that element of skill, where it's not just memorizing, you know, what's the most efficient order to cast my spells. You know, it's actually execution. Can you execute these cool abilities? And you can block, which mitigates a ton of damage. I ended up fighting one hero in PvP. He had almost the same skill set as me, almost the same level. So I thought, okay, this is a good test, you know, see how good I am. He killed me, and I barely put a dent in his health bar. Like, he was so perfect at blocking, dodging, blocking. He didn't have better gear than me. He didn't have you know, more that. He was just better at the game than I was. And I love that that's something that I'm looking to improve. I'm not looking for a better piece of gear. I'm not looking for a new shoulder pad or a new headpiece. I'm looking to actually improve my skills at this game, which is fairly rare in MMO. So sure. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, so what it sounds like, we're liking the presentation, we're liking the voice acting, we're liking the fact that it does have what seems to be a balance between MMO and action game. But, you know, unanswered questions, amount of content, length of the game, the group PvP stuff, and exactly how that plays out.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, balance in PvP is going to be tough. What I will say is I played arenas, which are equivalent of battlegrounds in WoW. And those were a lot of fun. The fighting is centered around control points, and they keep those control points kind of indoors or in smaller areas so that, you know, flight doesn't have significant advantage over speed and stuff like that. And they have really interesting elements. I think content is going to be the biggest concern, just because I am already level 15. I know I played all day, but that is halfway to 30, which is the cap. They've said that over half of the content at launch is endgame content. But I'm really interested to see if that's the case and if it's interesting content at endgame and not just repeating the same three dungeons 100 times. So
terrific.
Yeah.
We shall see. So we'll look forward to your even more articulated ideas and impressions on the game when our review goes live on the website and the magazine later on. And thanks again. And guys, feel free to send Josh any specific questions you have about the game, about what he's seeing. You know, he's probably deeper in there than most people out there, unless, you know, you're counting those hardcore comic nerds. Not that Josh is one of them too. Send us some questions for next week, and we'll be happy to check in on our progress with the game.
Yeah, and if you're playing, we have started our league, the Coconut Monkeys, on the Blood and Glory server, PvP server. It's really not that bad. There hasn't been too much ganking. We're on villain side. Send me Cat's Pajamas. A message for an invite, and we'd love to get you in there. If you're interested in running the guild, we'd love to have help running it for anybody that'll be on there, you know, during office hours and stuff to help us kind of balance it out. So yeah, please come join us. And if you're a hero on that server, if you see me, feel free to just run by, wave. You don't need to gank me. Thanks.
Yes, it's actually, I think it's the Death and Glory server.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, it's only one of three of the PvP servers, so in the US, obviously, so it should be easy to find. All right, cool. Well, thanks again, Josh, and we'll see you next week.
Anyway, I've been having a good time in there, too. It's really... I kind of get in the mood every year where I'm like, this MMO is going to be the one, because I never play MMOs, and I'm sort of convinced myself that I'm going to like make a pilgrimage into one, and it'll fit and it'll be cool. But it's a pretty comfortable action game. I mean, there's a blocking system. I can roll. There's combos. I'm playing a melee brawler character, and I'm having a really good time. I mean, Josh's descriptions are a lot more in depth. He's played a lot more than I have, but for somebody that hasn't played MMOs, I'm totally into it. I haven't had a bad experience yet, and you know, it's a well-designed game. It's an attractive game. It runs at 150 frames on my PC, and
What kind of PC do you have, dude?
I'm just running 250/850s and an i5, so it's nothing too crazy.
When you say you have blocking, etc., is that a WASD mouse setup, or are you, is it just point and click?
It's WASD, yeah, and you can use a controller if you want. You can totally rebind the keys. It's, you know, you can customize it that way, but really just and I think, you know, Josh just mentioned this in our conversation, but it's a fully voiced game. Like, almost all the dialogue is voiced.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they didn't play it up in the same way that Tor did, but it's good. It's good voice acting. You have the Firefly voice actors in there.
You got Mark Hamill as the Joker. That's the high point for me.
Yeah.
Kevin Conroy is Batman, so it's a well-presented game. It's much more attractive than Champions Online or the previous sort of superhero-based MMOs.
And how does it compare? Like, I mean, I played the bejesus out of City of Heroes.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's still the standard. And, you know, I played just enough of Champions Online to be like, this isn't City of Heroes.
Sure.
But is this something that I should definitely go for?
I think it's worth a look. Unfortunately, there isn't a free trial out there right now, so they're kind of making you pay the $50. You do get a free 30 days when you buy the game. It's available on Steam right now as well. It's much more focused. I mean, I think kind of the way that Champions and those guys approach City of Heroes, they've really looked at it as a system, in the same way that Dungeons and Dragons is a role playing system and whatnot, sort of like an open source rule book that they apply to an MMO. Whereas DCUO is much more of a action game MMO hybrid for me. It's much more higher presentation experience. There's fewer options. I mean, the customization is good and enjoyable, but you're not going to have like, not going to be able to resize your left ear and things like that. It's a little more limited in that way. It is on PS3, so there's some limitations there. Josh talked about how he isn't totally fond of the UI. The UI does feel a little big to me and nested, but otherwise, just a really polished experience. I mean, I didn't encounter any bugs. The servers went up an hour after they said they would. Like, as far as an MMO launch goes, pretty damn smooth, I'd say.
That is very, very impressive.
I wish I was hipper to the DC universe, because I grew up as a Marvel fanboy. And sure, man, if this thing was on Marvel, I wouldn't even be here. I'd quit all darn jobs.
I understand.
So a Marvel guy, huh? So you take the Punisher over, like, I don't know, a Batman or Superman or something?
That's true.
You know, look, I mean, you if you want to play unfair face-off, I'll play with you all day long. But
exactly. We take Wolverine to
Dr. To Lobo.
Lobo. I mean,
Sheriff Lobo?
Yeah.
My feeling always was, I don't know if you guys agree, like, Marvel absolutely, I mean, They have a bunch of flagship heroes, obviously, Spider-Man, whatever, but they have the best groups. I mean, by far ahead of DC. X-Men, just an amazing group. Fantastic Four, pretty cool.
Avengers.
DC's groups, I mean, the JLA are okay, but they're really just Superman, Wonder Woman, people you know. But like, once you get beyond the JLA, it's really kind of awkward. The Justice Society of America is kind of this ragtag group of people you don't care about. And but yeah. Better individuals in DC, in my
opinion. You know, and that makes me wonder, has Marvel made any rumblings about any kind of MMO?
Oh, man.
Let's,
I know, well, they tried to sue someone, didn't they? Because they were making, like, Hulk.
Champions, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought it was City of Heroes.
So you would, was it? Because, I mean, you would think if they're pursuing them legally, maybe they are doing something. I mean, this is all speculation,
and
but it's,
you would,
like,
also think that it's just inconceivable that they're not. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's true, too, right? Because they're such profitable, you know, and there's such money makers, like, with, it is strange.
It's such a great extension for any kind of,
it'll
virtual
happen.
Universe.
It'll happen. I mean, right now, Gazillion Entertainment, they're sort of a, I don't know what to call them, a conglomerate, I guess. They own the rights to all the Marvel MMO-type games. They're making a Superhero Squad MMO, I think, is coming out this year. And Superhero Squad is like the children's animated series with Marvel characters. So,
oh yeah, that creeps me out. I turned that on for my daughter. I was like, this is wrong, so wrong.
I know. Yeah, it's some of the Disney influence, I guess, going after little kids. But so they're working on that right now. I can't imagine, you know, if you're holding the rights for a decade, that they wouldn't put out a proper Marvel Universe MMO.
Even if it's not an MMO, any sort of game with the Marvel Universe, I'm good for. Marvel versus Street Fighter and Marvel versus Capcom, the fighter games on the consoles, is really good.
Well, those licenses seem like they're really chopped up. I mean, Sega is, for example, did the Iron Man action game. They're doing a Thor game, but let's see.
Probably based off the movie, though, right?
Activision owns like the Spider-Man action games license, so it's here and there.
So you would actually find yourself investing more in DC Universe Online. We'll talk about this in a little bit, but you would choose that over the Old Republic, you think, if you're going to go with like one MMO that you're going to invest yourself in?
That's a great question. Someone actually, I put out a call for questions on Twitter today, and someone said, if I could pick one MMO this year, which one would I pick? It's, you know, that it's a little bit of an unrealistic question, but right now I'm loving DC and I feel invested in it. I feel like superheroes are a little more to my liking than sci-fi would be. That sounds crazy coming out of my mouth, but for one thing, the mobility in the game, I mean, there's basically three styles of movement you can pick in character creation. There's flight, there's super speed, which is like the Flash, obviously, or acrobatics. I picked acrobatics, and I'm just finding myself in Metropolis. I'm just running on buildings. I can attach any surface, basically. I can wall run on anything and run up any building. I can hop over rooftops and whatnot and glide while I'm falling in the air, and I'm just doing that. Like, en route to my missions, I'm like not taking the shortest path. I'm just enjoying the feeling of movement in the game because it feels like an action game. And that'll probably wear off after that novelty goes away. But right now, it's the game I need pretty much. I'll certainly check out Tor, but you know, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, on the flip, I'm actually glad somebody asked that question, because MMOs are a rare breed also, because it's not just how good the game is, it's what all your friends want to play, because it's such a social social institution. But, I mean, I'm so excited for the Old Republic that I don't even want to risk getting invested in anything else.
And on that note, Anthony found an article for us that ran on 1UP, and that sort of leads us into a greater conversation about the Old Republic. Anthony, can you introduce that for us?
There was an article written by Cat Bailey on 1UP. It came out a couple days ago, and it was essentially saying, you know, why the Old Republic might be too late, in that, you know, EA is pouring, you know, supposedly $300 million into this game, but the fact of the matter is are they going to make all their money up whenever it comes out? Because some of the big things that, you know, are highlighted for the Old Republic was that it was fully voiced, and that it was unique quest lines. Like, you wouldn't be grinding all the time. You wouldn't have to kill like 1,000 Womp Rats to level up or something like that. But, you know, whenever Cataclysm came out, they have this great quest line system in it, and that you're not grinding as much. And, you know, as we said earlier, DC Universe Online is fully voiced, so those two things are gone. And also, you know, the graphic system as it is, you know, it looks good, but when you look at something like, you know, Cataclysm, and they have such nuances like the water effects or the shadow effects, that, you know, Old Republic does start to look a little bit dated. And the big question is when it comes out, will it be too little too late? And there's a good quote in here. And it said, you know, the stone cold fact of the matter is that the Old Republic would have had a much better chance to make good on its promise if it came out in 2006 or 2007, before, you know, Warcraft became Warcraft, you know. And since Warcraft has pretty much cornered the market on MMOs, a lot of MMO companies are scared to take the big plunge that EA has taken with this game. And so whenever it comes out, I mean, obviously you're going to have all the Star Wars fans, like, you know, Brian and I are definitely going to be on it. Some of the MMO fans are definitely going to jump on it. But the question is Warcraft fans or other fans who have not really taken the jump into an MMO yet, are they going to jump on board and justify that price cost for this game? And essentially that's the big question, is if it succeeds, it's going to, you know, change the landscape of MMOs forever. But if it fails, it is going to fail big, and it's really going to affect MMOs, because no one's going to want to take a big chance on it like EA did with this one.
Mm-hmm. I do think one key component of this, and we're not totally sure what the release date is. I mean, we think Mass Effect 3, I think they've said 2011. They need to space out Mass Effect 3 from Tor. I mean, they're already telling people, you know, this is going to be a very soloable experience. This is why they're building in all that voice work and whatnot. You can play by yourself. And if they want to get those folks that have played Mass Effect and love Mass Effect to jump in this game because it's a BioWare game, because it has some of the same dialogue elements and character development and whatnot, if they want that to happen, they need to space out those games at least 2 or 3 months, I think.
See, I think they've got a pretty good chance with this because, I mean, first of all, BioWare knows how to make a good game, so I'm not really worried about the quality of the game or the engagement or the storytelling. Those are all going to be amazing. I think that it benefits in that there's very little nerd stink on the Star Wars universe, whereas, you know, a lot of people who are into World of Warcraft, you know, that's a very, you know, you're very hardcore into, you know, fantasy setting or whatever. Like, but, you know, I've got cousins who are, you know, frat boys who would totally get into this kind of thing, but who would never give a chance to World of Warcraft.
Huh, right.
It is a little different. It's a sci-fi MMO. So, I guess people who play WoW will also be interested in that. But this is not a WoW clone, right? This is something entirely different based off, you know, a universe that was around way before WoW. I think if any MMO is going to be successful, Star Wars has the power, like I said, the nerd power, to make it happen. So I think if anyone is going to do it, they're in a good spot. So I hope they do. You know, I hope people go and play it. I'm kind of psyched about it, and I wouldn't normally be excited about an MMO at all, and I have no interest in WoW. So,
have any of you guys subscribed to two MMOs simultaneously?
I did once. That was a mistake because I forgot to cancel the one I saw playing.
Okay. So at least among our group, that's, you know, that's not something that we, not, you know, we don't want to overplay that. You know, there can only be one. There can only be one, you know, successful MMO. It could totally be possible that these games can run in parallel, but
yeah.
I would like to think that there would be very few simultaneous subscribers or simultaneous hardcore players, maybe.
Right, but do you think it would have been a better bet on EA and BioWare's parts who have just made a Knights of the Old Republic 3 instead of taking this huge of a chance?
I think they want to quarter on a new market. And, you know, I mean, they made a massive investment in buying BioWare in 2006 or whatever it was. I mean, they are their flagship developer, hands down, right now. You know, maybe other than the sports category, which is a bunch of several developers. But, companies with shareholders, they have an obligation to grow their business. And, if they see a demographic, I guess they tried with APB. That was one very failed attempt. But, they have a great license. They have an awesome developer. They kind of have to go for it. And, you know, obviously knowing that they were making Mass Effect, they had to think, well, if we were going to do just a straight up KOTOR 3, that would have, you know, competed with Mass Effect or prevented them from doing Mass Effect.
I'm glad that they took the risk. I want to see more MMOs rather than less. Just the more we can populate the virtual constellation out there, the better. And, you know, ultimately, I would love to see enough fragmentation where it doesn't have to be, every MMO doesn't have to be massive to survive. But for right now, that's, you know, the focus is on the big ones. And so I'm glad to see them out there taking risks and you know, being bold about them.
What appeals to me about it, sorry, Anthony, real quick, what appeals to me is with WoW, I guess the reason, I'm sure it's an awesome game and I actually would enjoy playing it, but it's like I'm intimidated. There are so many people that have played that game for, like you said, 4 or 5 years, however long it's been out, where with that TOR, it's like, well, everyone's going to be on level playing field. It's not quite as intimidating. You're all kind of playing.
Man.
At the same time.
You're so right, because there's nothing. I think that's part of why I got so giddy for City of Heroes, is that experience of all of your friends getting their first superpower at the same time. I mean, the whole world feels so expansive and alive and anything's possible, whereas if I were to start on WoW now, I mean, I'd feel small the moment I stepped out to kill my first rat. I'd feel like I missed the whole train and everyone, you know, the party's on the other side of the world.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, one big thing that I have with this is that they haven't given out release dates, but they're always saying, like, you know, spring of 2011 or, you know, fall 2011. And I think that might be bad on their part, because if you think of, like, how Blizzard and Valve, and they make their games, like, listen, it's done when it's done. So there's not this anticipation, and whenever spring or Q1 comes around and then Q1 goes by and you're like, oh man, I missed it. It's almost like, for example, I was going to get the Verizon iPhone. I mean, since, you know, the iPhone's on the Verizon network now. But it took them so long to come out with it that I just, you know, I was like, no, I'm not going to wait anymore. And I went and got an Android device. And I know a lot of people with this game have said, oh, I'm going to wait for this. You know, I'm going to stop playing WoW or, you know, whatever MMO they're playing at the time. And I'm going to, you know, go on to Old Republic. But the fact of the matter is like, oh, is it coming out? No, it's not coming out in Q1. Is it Q2? No, it's not Q2. And I think that the fact that they're not giving a release date, but giving a some sort of a window. Now, granted, I know it's for, you know, shareholders and business and stuff like that, but for the player aspect of it, a lot of people I know have been turned off because they're like, listen, I'm not going to sit around and wait anymore. I'm going to go ahead and play this one and invest my time and money into this one. And if that one comes out and I'm still interested, I'll play it. But at this point in time, it just doesn't hold its attention anymore.
Yeah, they certainly would benefit from a hard release at this point. I don't know if that's a strategic decision in part two. They know Guild Wars 2 is, you know, still unconfirmed exactly when they're coming in 2011. As we know, Terra, Planes of Terra, it's four-letter MMOs, is deploying in March, I believe. So I don't know if it's a strategic decision or something like that, but
I'm still trying to man up and get to EVE Online, man.
Oof.
Well, that's, I mean,
that's jumping in the deep end.
That's another.
I know, but I want to. It's my dream to be a corporate asshole.
Well, if you're going to jump in at first, take a swim, right?
To be a tyrant, you know, to destroy lives.
That's certainly the game to do that. I mean, you'd be like, you should play. You'd be in like Hog Heaven if that's the case, because that behavior is encouraged in EVE Online.
Yeah.
That game is so ridiculous. I want to try it, but I mean, the way I see it is basically like you just trapped a couple kids in the basement for a couple years, then you come down and it's like, we have our own currency now, and we have our own way of life now, and it's like, oh my god, what the hell is this? But it intrigues me, but I'm
and then
scared.
They enslave you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like Planet of the Apes all over again.
Yeah, uh-huh. And they're like, you're a commodity, shut up.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
If you were struck in the head by as one scoop of ice cream dropped from the Empire State Building, how badly do you think you'd be hurt?
Not that bad at all, because
it depends if there's nuts in it.
It's no, no nuts. Dude,
that's it's not going to get faster. It's going to drop. I mean, that's one of those myths that they disproved, like with the penny. It's got its own mass, and it'll drop at, you know, probably the same rate. So it would hurt, but it wouldn't kill you.
You sure? You want to test that theory?
Yeah, I'll take it. Right. Sure. Let's do it.
You're on. You
that
are
would be really
on.
Cool, wouldn't it? Like that, we would get tons of hits. I'll take one for
do
the
it.
Team.
Let's do it.
What type of ice cream? We're talking about like soft serve ice cream,
yeah,
or
that's
like
true.
Solid ice cream.
No, I would say a reasonably easy to scoop Ben and Jerry's.
Oh, nice. And then
not like where you have to. You're just like to get, you know, a little chip out. But, you know, just so you could pass it through fairly easily and get a nice chunky scoop.
Well, that's a good point, though. You mentioned chunks. Are we talking Cherry Garcia? Or are we talking, like, you know, just vanilla?
No sharp bits and no nuts, but there may be, like, cake pieces.
What is the terminal velocity of ice cream?
We'd find out. We would be the pioneers.
Right.
I'm actually searching that right now.
And you know what? You know what, Logan? No matter the outcome, it would be delicious afterwards.
Turns out the answer is
that's
porn.
That's true.
Thank God.
You don't say. All right, just wanted to mention some StarCraft news while we're here. A patch released yesterday, meaning Wednesday, the 1.2 patch, finally added chat channels, thank goodness, to Battle.net at the request of the community. So there's finally, a place to actually socialize with people like on the old Battle.net. Step in the right direction, Blizzard, on that note. And they've added a Grandmaster League and a Master League to the ladders. So, let's see.
Yeah, they've added the Master League, but the Grandmaster will come later.
Okay, I see. And the Master League represents the top 2% of players in Diamond League, is that right?
Yeah, it's the cream of the crop in the Diamond League. And it's just like they're like, all right, you can have your own league because you're just, it's ridiculous.
If they had a Master Pansy League, I'd be in that. But this just proves I don't have any business in StarCraft.
The Training Wheels League?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Distracted quadruple. Father League?
Right. Yeah. Nice. Exactly. I'd be
hold on,
that.
Guys. Baby's crying.
Yeah. Could you just stop the match for like 20 minutes, please?
I would buy a record by Master Pansy League without even listening to the music first.
Yeah, Penny Arcade made a comic like that about like Halo matchmaking. Like, you would be able to join a matchmaking group that would be understanding of your needs as a parent or something. Anyway, Grandmaster League is going to be the top 200 when that develops on Battle.net, and it's a great thing that they're continuing to expand. I like the idea of more prestige within the community. I see pretty much everybody I see talking on the StarCraft subreddit on Reddit.com is a Diamond League player, a Platinum League player, and it's just hard to distinguish who's actually has the best advice and who's who. So that's cool. Additional Blizzard news: we want to mention that Cataclysm sold 4.7 million in its first month.
Oh.
As reported by Blizzard, this does make it the fastest selling in a month PC game.
They're just breaking their own records. So,
yeah, I mean, more than the previous expansion and the previous expansion to that, and who would have thought?
Yeah. So wait, that's what, about $50 a box? So that's what, $200 million in a month?
Give or take. That's not even subscription sales or anything.
It's all right. Take 200 mil.
It's not a bad day's work.
It's all right. If I got all that money, I would give $200 to charity right off the top.
Oh, yeah. That's very noble.
Right off the top.
Such a nice man.
And then you write it off like for taxes, so you just get the money back.
Well, of course, that's my right. God.
I just want to mention one excellent piece of video I saw on our website today, if you guys didn't see it. So there's this mod out there for GTA 4. Head on over to our website if you guys haven't found this.
What's that website again?
It's PCGamer.com.
Yeah, there you go. The headline is How to Turn Off Friction in GTA 4. And, I mean, there's a ton of funny stuff like this on the internet, obviously, including mods, but this is hands down one of the funniest videos I've ever seen. It's like some machinima of Nico walking around in Liberty City. He's talking on his cell phone, and there's just this.
Oh my god! I know, that's awesome.
Automotive danger, like relentlessly spitting through the streets. Like, how can you not want to be a PC gamer watching this video? And
that's awesome.
There's nothing that can be done. I mean, these cars have to be moving in game terms, like 250 miles an hour or something, and they're just spinning over themselves. And
This is shockingly close to what it looks like when Texans try to drive on ice.
Oh yes,
I can verify that.
Yes,
I want to see it in slow motion and to like classical music. It has a certain black swanish quality to it, you know.
Yeah. At one point, Nico kicks a car, and the car, of course, like rappels off the wall and back into
the. I've done that.
Terrific. So just a little web highlight there for you guys. We also got a question on Twitter before we go into listener questions. And I just want to get some quick response about this. Somebody asked, if you have one day left to live, what game would you play? Chris?
Besides Quake?
No. Just what game, yeah.
Yeah, Chris. Be Quake. Full circle. That's how I started my gaming life. It's how I'd end my gaming life.
Wow.
Karma.
That's very Lion King. Excellent.
Yeah.
Logan, what about yourself?
Wow. This is like... You know what I'd probably do is I'd probably take the Four Loko beverage,
sure,
like six of them, and I'd boil them down into a concentrate, and I would pour the concentrate into a syringe, and I would slam it, and I would stay up that entire 24 hours and play Mass Effect 2 as just the nastiest, skankiest rogue possible. And take out my anger on the world.
Wow, that's a binge. Yeah. That's a proper binge.
Yeah. You know what? You just swayed me because I was thinking Mass Effect 2, but I'm like, no, I just played it. But like, and then I decided I wanted to do City of Heroes because that's an actual place to me. Like, if I'm going to die, I want to go visit, a place where a lot of memories were made.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But now that you're saying Mass Effect 2, I never did finish it.
Tear them to pieces.
Renegade. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, and Mass Effect 2, it has really good options to be renegade. It's not just like be a jerk, whatever the first Star Wars game was. We talked about it. Anyway, so in Mass Effect 2, there are some really, really like morally deprived things. I play as a renegade, and I was like hating myself for it.
Go on.
What were some of the like punching the guys? Well, the part where like you go into the Logan, you'll know what I'm talking about here. You go into like the corporation, and I think it was to. It was when you first get... What was the name of the Asari chick?
Viara.
Asari chick.
Liara,
Liara to Sony.
So if you go, Renegade, you can like murder her and have her daughter. Spoilers, by the way. So you can murder her and take her daughter instead. Like, and just the interplay between that whole conversation when you do that is so heartbreaking and awful.
That's sentimental.
God, dude, I felt so dirty. I had to like take a shower. I was like, I can't believe I just did that.
All right, now you've swayed me back. I don't want to spend my last day on Earth feeling like a bad person. I'm going back to City of Heroes.
Although, I will say, punching out the female reporter was really damn rewarding. That was awesome.
Everybody did that, right? I mean...
Yeah, of course.
Did you throw the guy out the window, too, when he's like, you can't interrogate me, and you're just like, ah, see you later. So you punch him out a damn window, and he dies.
Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed that. Yeah. I think I even quit and reloaded just to do it again.
Andy Bauman reminding us via chat that all Asari are female. I think they're actually asexual. Is that, am I remembering?
They are. Yep, they're asexual. Sorry, Andy. You're wrong,
How do they, like, do they use a spray or something? Or?
Yeah. They're asexual, but they happen to look like babes.
I think they use an anallergic cream or something.
Huh. Excellent. Yeah. I would do Team Fortress 2, preferably in like a knockout tournament where the people that lost actually died.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Would Gerard Butler be starring in that particular?
That's intense.
No. I'm not too crazy about him.
Not just died, but blew up.
Yeah. Yeah, and the neck collars, yeah. Exactly.
Wow.
Would they die in a suitable fashion? Like if you actually crit rocketed someone, is that how they would die in real life, Evan?
I don't have the means to simulate that, but...
Or if you backstab somebody, you'd actually get like a switchblade or spine.
Preferably.
Every player is just playing with a sentry right behind them. The moment they die, it just opens up.
Just like ominously beeping behind them, yeah. Anthony, what about yourself?
Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Oh, come on.
Nice.
You'd be calm before you went. You'd be like, ah.
So. I'd be like, this is so peaceful and nice.
And then you'd be like, goodbye, Kitty.
Your bow so fluffy.
I see what you did there, Logan.
Yours is superior.
But no, if I had to choose, it would be the original Jedi Knight.
Whoa, good one, yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. Feel free to let us know in the comments if you have a game of preference to go along with your execution, I guess. pretty morbid question, but interesting nevertheless. I'm going to flip this over to Andy now to shoot some questions into this podcast, which you can submit to us, by the way, by calling 877-404-1337, extension 724, or emailing us at pcgamerpodcast@gmail.com.
Hi, guys. Heard the last podcast, and I totally disagree with Logan on giving a free pass to facial animations. I played Fallout, and one of the things that stopped me from playing Fallout was the totally uncanny valley look of the character animations. Some of them were just so disturbing. The mouth did not sync, and they went out of their way to make a lot of close-ups with these characters, and it just totally took me out of the game. I mean, if you look carefully, some of the eyes are like pointed in different directions, and it's just ridiculous. If you can't pull it off, then don't try it. Why don't you take the Borderlands route and make it kind of cartoony and pan the camera out a little bit so that you're not focused on these close-ups of these weird mannequins talking to you. I'm not kidding. It was so disturbing to me, I just had to stop. It was just not fun watching these kind of animations over and over. Very robotic. I mean, it's 2010 going on 2011. Get with it.
Wait, isn't that what I was saying, though?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Yeah, because I was... I think what I had been talking about was how the one place where... the one aspect that I thought just... they blew it in Mass Effect was that these animations can't express emotions. They're so far away from where they needed to be that there were times when I thought my PC had frozen and it was just Shepard trying to give a meaningful look.
Sure.
Have you guys seen that video that's coming out? I think it's a console game only for right now, but Rockstar is making it. It's based off
LA Noir.
Yeah. LA Noir, yeah. So maybe Logan, that'll be a step.
I don't know. I've seen all that stuff, and I just think that the closer they get, the worse it looks to me because it just highlights that it's not there.
Yeah,
the more I think he made a great point. You know, when you go cartoony, it's actually more immersive. It's more, I just feel like the closer and more dazzling, you know, because some of those animations were dazzling, but those were just like very brief glimpses at it. I think if you tried to base a whole game on it and you tried to... I just feel like the closer you try to get with that kind of technology, the weirder it ends up looking. And while, yeah, they may, you know, end up creating a model that's just as... that just is as finely calibrated or attenuated as a human actor, but why pour all that energy into that one little thing when you don't have to? You know, if I want to see that kind of acting, I'll watch a movie. And, you know, a good actor can do it for scale rather than spend hundreds of millions of dollars on this, you know,
yeah,
technology that really doesn't affect my game all that much.
I think, you know, I mean, first of all, for myself, like, I've never experienced the uncanny valley. I think it's kind of like just one of those buzzwords that people bring up when the topic is facial animation, in the same way, like, when I talk about eating prunes, people bring up my colon and whatever. I mean, it's just like...
I mean, they physically, it's like lift it up.
No, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like the thing people are trained to say when a topic comes up and they just want to say something. I've never experienced that. Like, L.A. Noire looks awesome to me. And yeah, there's bad animation out there. The Color Brings a Fallout. That's a long-standing argument that their engine is just bad at conveying emotion and things like that. But, I mean, in the case of L.A. Noire, it seems like it makes sense. And yes, we hope this game comes out on PC. Because the justification they're making in the gameplay is that you're going to have to tell if these people are lying to you or not, because you're interviewing all these people as a police officer. And, you know, if they're, I don't know, presumably if they're blinking at a certain time or whatever, you're going to have to sort of figure that out on your own rather than sort of being fed that through text and plot points. And that sounds like an actually intriguing mechanic to me.
Yeah, I think you're right, though, Logan, in the sense that if there's one thing that distracts me, even in a movie, it's like when the sound doesn't match the lips. And that's something in gaming, especially in Fallout, where it was like, I can get away with like the static animation, sort of the wild euphemisms when their arms are flying everywhere. But when the voices don't match the lips, and it looks like their lips are just going up and down, like bop, 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 it's really distracting. So I could definitely see an improvement in that and be psyched.
I'm going to start talking that way in real life, just to annoy you.
just use your teeth, like, hello.
I feel like I don't want that kind of realism. I think it's a poor substitute for creativity. Let's make it look as lifelike as possible. Well, you're never going to get there, you know? The human face, where we're trained to read it.
I don't know. This sounds an awful lot like Kasparov saying, you know, chess is too complicated a game. No computer will ever defeat a human.
Hey, Andy,
it's like there's going to be some point where it crosses over.
There's a dissent. You know, yeah, dissent is not acceptable here.
Right.
Did you really ever think we would get to the point, though, Logan, where we would have crisis? Like, I mean, back, like, let's say 10 years ago, I mean, everyone was like, we'll never, ever get to that point. You know, and then crisis came around, and we're like, holy crap.
Oh, absolutely, I did. I thought so when I was a kid on my Apple II. You know, because, I mean, think about it. The first video game system I ever had used giant blocks on a TV screen, and you had to put plastic on the TV screen to change the game. Like, you had to put a plastic overlay of a haunted house, you know, and then lights would light up behind each room that you were in. And then, 2 years later, and I'm playing Ultima, you know, I actually thought it would happen sooner, although gameplay has advanced in ways that I hadn't thought of, you know. I mean, I never thought of the incredible range that we'd have, you know, from shooters, MMOs, RPGs, entire worlds that were persistent. That never occurred to me when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I think most of us agree with the idea that what you're saying, Logan, like, the purpose of games isn't to just be really cool, fancy technology and, you know, imitate life and be...
Right.
I mean, part of the complaint I have with where we are, I mean, if you look at... if you take sort of a biased view and say, you know, Call of Duty is a very popular game and its biggest flaw is that it's way too cinematic, and that comes as a result of games trying to imitate movies ever since, like, Metal Gear Solid and the mid-90s and late 90s, and, you know, look where we are now. But, I mean, that's a very narrow view of things, but I do think games should just try and be games and not, you know, try and be movies or not try and be art and just be a game.
Yeah. I have confidence that, you know, that's exactly the direction Rockstar's going. I don't, you know, they have, you know, they've proven themselves to be, you know, the developer's proven itself to be very adroit at the use of technology, you know, and putting gameplay first, you know, in a way that I didn't think was very well done in Blops, the single player one.
We've come a long way, though. If anyone wants to see just how far we have come, watch like a playthrough of the original Resident Evil and check out the voice acting and check out the mannerisms in that game. It's really pretty funny.
I think one of the big things with L.A. Noire, I mean, just getting back onto the topic of the facial reactions and stuff, is that whenever we hit like a big graphical, you know, update, whether it be like with the console or, you know, like Crysis or something like that, the developer always shows off environments. They always show like, you know, water effects or jungle effects or something like that. So whenever we finally see, you know, a big leap in facial animation, it seems like, wow, you know, this is great. But we don't really see it as, you know, a game changer because we've always been told, look at the shadow through the leaves, or, you know, look at how the waves crash upon the water, you know, the waves crash upon the shore and stuff like that. So whenever, you know, they're like, check out the facial animations, you know, initially we're just kind of like, oh, that doesn't really have anything to do with the game. But, you know, if they did like Grand Theft Auto 4, they had those facial animations in it, I don't think it would have been such a big game changer because the game's not based around reading people's reactions.
Right.
But with L.A. Noire,
here's another problem with trying to get with getting one thing very, very right, and I think it opens you up to a whole nother problem, which is like I remember the first time I saw like a minigun being used in Crysis, and how you could do the you know, you could replay that scene from Predator where you just tear apart the forest, right? And it was like, oh my god, that's amazing! It looks just like real life. But then the minute that part stops, and you walk around a bit and find out that you can't do all the things you do in real life. You can't scale that rock. You can't climb over that one, you know, thing that you would be able to in real life. Then you go from thinking, oh my god, that was so immersive and spectacular, to, oh geez, this is no different from, you know, stuff I did 10 years ago. You know, you get one thing right, and then it tends to, you know, if you can't sustain that expectation throughout the entire game, it's sort of wasted. It's all that effort, you know. But not to sound like, oh, you can't do it or it shouldn't be done. No, I'd love to see it done well. I just haven't sort of experienced that myself, and I've seen it become a pitfall more often than it really helped a game.
You remember Max Payne, where he had like the same like frozen like smirk on his face the entire game.
That was awful, but at the same time, I loved that game.
Me too.
It didn't bother me at all. I mean, a little.
Like he was talking and he just had that
weird. Yeah, that was really awful. You have to wonder, like, how did. Yeah.
Hey, as any good actioner, he's always ready to sneeze.
Yes, yes, of course.
Always prepared.
We should call them allergy movies.
I think we got one more question. Far away, Andy.
Hey guys, over the past 2 years, there's been a lot of talk about Crysis, both as its merits as a great game, but also in terms of its sales. When it came out, it was apparently a sales failure, but since then it's gone on to sell 3 million copies, according to Crytek, and it's obviously done quite well for Crytek themselves, too, since they have 300-plus employees and are developing 5 games right now. Anyways, I was wondering if you could weigh in, then, on what this means for what Shabbat Yearly has said in the past, about how piracy has killed Crytek sales and how piracy drove them to consoles, even though Far Cry 2, a multi-platform game on 3 different systems, has only sold about 3 million as well. It just seems to me that maybe Shabbat Yearly has been, you know, looking at the hyperbole a bit too much and should maybe think more about what PC gamers actually want about high-end graphics that they've apparently claimed aren't the way to make money anymore, and what that means for what other developers are doing too. Anyway, at least Crysis 2 still looks amazing. Let me know what your thoughts are. Thanks.
Wow, that was a good transition from one Crysis topic to another. That was fortuitous.
It sure was.
So there is, I think, a lot of hyperbole in the question itself. I don't think anybody considered the game a financial failure on the PC or any platform. It may have not met their sales, their projected sales. I'm not sure if it did or it didn't. But I don't think anyone considered it to be a failure.
No.
And I think that the biggest problem I had with Shabbat Yearly's statistics was, I mean, the fact is, he was right. It was being pirated left and right. There's no question about that. The only question for me was, did every one of those pirated copies represent a lost sale?
Yeah.
You know, that's the part that, you know, I have a problem with. But there's no question that it was copied, it suffered from insane levels of piracy on the PC side, And I wouldn't blame any developer for saying, you know what, we are a public company. We need to provide value for our shareholders, blah, 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 blah. I'm so glad I don't have to talk like that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we want to go multi-platform. I think that's terrific. There are things, I think Crytek, will, no matter what they do or what they produce, they will always be a PC shop. I mean, I know these guys, you know, and they did, look what they did with Far Cry. Look what they did. It was like a handful, it was way before they became like, you know, 300 strong company. It was a bunch of guys who loved what they did. I don't know if it was just guys. Sorry about that. That was lame. But, you know, but they loved what they did, and they loved the possibilities in the PC, and that love was expressed, you know, exponentially in Crysis. It just turned out to be, like, on the business end, well, okay, we even modeled, you know, how water behaves, you know, when it's over sort of hilly ground surface or whatever. Now we have to worry about, you know, selling as many copies as possible to pay for that kind of development.
And I have not met really anyone who didn't like Crysis, to be honest with you. I've met people who said, yeah, it was decent. I mean, it was a success commercially. It was a massive success in the review sector. I mean, our own magazine gave it an extremely high review score, one of the highest ever. Back when GFW, the magazine, was around, they gave it a high score. I mean, people loved that game. So I'm not sure why. I mean, okay, Savat. Is it Savat? Chavat? How do you say his name?
I like Civet because it's that cute little creature.
Yeah, but I feel bad because, like we were talking about, I don't like to, you know, mispronounce people's names. But Mr. Yearly, you know, despite him saying piracy was a big factor, I don't think he ever said that people didn't enjoy it or that people didn't want to, you know, play it.
Yeah, I mean, paraphrasing some of his original comments from 2008, I believe, he was basically saying, like, piracy is like 15 or 20 to 1. It's a big shame for PC gaming. We're no longer going to be developing exclusively for the PC platform. And I mean, if you remember back, I just looked this up, they actually released a demo almost 3 weeks before the game even came out.
Yeah.
In October of 2007, which really like a pretty generous move. I don't know if that was them trying to anticipate piracy. And I mean, a smart move of them trying to avoid people saying to themselves, well, I don't know if it'll run on my PC. I guess I'll torrent it just to, you know, see if it runs and then maybe I'll buy it. So I mean, They kind of did everything they could in that regard.
Yeah, and I don't think he had ever really been shrill. At his very, very worst after the launch, he was mildly annoyed with all the PC. Not mildly, but, you know, he was annoyed with all the piracy, as anybody who worked that long in a game would be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought his response was very thoughtful. You know, it's just like, okay, we've got to make certain numbers and you know, and we want to, you know, regardless of the reasons why we didn't sell X number of copies, we've got to go multi-platform from now on, which is a totally fair thing to say. You know, the PC still has many, many strengths, and I think you'll find out that Crytek is the company that will exploit them the most in the coming year.
Yeah, and piracy is, I mean, it is a problem on the PC.
Huge.
It will be for a long, long time. And I think, what was the game they made? Was the original Far Cry, the last game they made before Crysis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're talking, how many years was it between the original Far Cry and Crysis? Like 6, 7, something like that?
I think it was three.
Yeah.
But still, in the span of 3 years, you know, the internet exploded into the point where we are now, where it's much easier, you know, to steal and torrent games. Or back then, if you're on dial-up, it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And so maybe they just weren't expecting that. And hey, look, if you made a product, anyone out there, I don't care who it is, me, Logan, Evan, anyone, let's say I wrote a book and people stole the crap out of it, that would be really hurtful and upsetting. You know, you can't blame him for being upset that his product was stolen en masse. That's understandable.
Yeah. But, you know, again, we're still in the early days and people are trying all sorts of things. I loved how EA used the Cerberus network, you know, to mitigate piracy of Mass Effect 2. It was a great idea. You know, let's create this channel that you need, you know, it didn't require a subscription, but it gave you an incentive to buy a retail copy.
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of stuff that just totally gives me a boner, you know?
Lots of spoonsful of sugar with the medicine solutions.
Cool. Going back just real quick before we end it, a lot of people that aren't in the industry think that, you know, Crysis was a commercial failure when we know it wasn't. But I think there's a big difference between sales expectations and hype expectations. And, you know, we all know Crysis was great. We played it and we love it. And for me, it met the hype. But when I used to work at Best Buy, and people would come up to me and tell me, oh, I heard about this game that it can only be played on a computer from NASA. You know, it's called Crysis this stuff. And so whenever they get the game and they don't have a quote-unquote NASA computer and they can't get the experience that they were promised, that then kind of bad, you know, word of mouth spreads around from people that aren't able to really experience the way it was meant to be experienced. And so I think that's why a lot of people get it confused between hype and reality.
Yeah. Yeah, that just really reinforces the idea to me that, I mean, obviously we have a responsibility to be honest and truthful and accurate with how we represent games, but so do gamers. I mean, on forums, you know, obviously there's a lot of weird rhetoric that happens on game forums, but when you're representing a game in that way, you know, if somebody just passes through, they might have a certain perception, and you can do well as a gamer by, you know, being a little bit more patient, being a little more level-headed, and not freaking out in these circumstances when, you know, X game sold more than Y or whatever. You know, it's not the end of the world. I think people get too invested. It sort of started with the console wars and that whole thing, but just something I like to encourage. I want to know what you guys have been playing this week, and over break, I guess, if you weren't on our last podcast. Mr. Valva, what have you been playing since you came up here?
Well, before the launch of DC Universe, I started playing Batman Arkham Asylum again, and that game is so good. You know, you play through it one time, you think you found everything, you play through it again, you realize that you have found nothing, and you're just like, oh, I'm such a fool, you know, and it's like, the Riddler has tricked me again, oh, damn it. And, you know, I played through that again. I also, you know, of course, Cataclysm and stuff like that in my daily StarCraft matches, but I've been really getting into DC Online, and that's pretty much what's taking up my time right now.
Cool. Can you describe your hero or villain?
He is acrobatic, uses dual pistols, and works for the Joker.
What's nice. His name?
His name is the Corruptor.
It sounds like
not like Jack or Fred or
no.
Okay, all right, that's cool.
I wanted to go with something, you know, original.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Mr. Kamisky.
I tried to play Meat Boy again, and I just really, really suck at that game.
What world?
I'm not too good at that either.
I'm on World 2. I'm on the second stage from World 2, where you first encounter like the fans that push you up. And I cannot get past the second. Dude. I mean, I know you can. This is all sort of like just pointless because you can skip the stages if you want to. But I don't know. I feel like less of a gamer if I do that. Guilt.
You haven't seen anything. I mean, once you get to the point where they're firing homing missiles at you.
Great.
And then missiles that split into shrapnel that goes in like five different directions.
So you're reinforcing that I should not play this game, basically.
You should play it, dude. Like, I don't play platform games, and I got through fine.
But, dude, I grew up on console games. I grew up in this old... I feel like such... Like, my past self is, like, groaning at me. Like, dude, you can't beat Meat Boy. Are you kidding?
It kicks you in the self-esteem kidneys.
It does, man. They hurt. You know, it's like Man, I'm spending so much time on these stages, and I what's it going to be like when I get to the Dark World in World 2? Like, what am I going to do then?
Well, you don't have to touch that until you finish the game, but...
It's really fun, though. I mean, that aside, it's a great game, and I really encourage people to buy it, and the soundtrack is amazing. It's just, I have to play it, like, in small doses, because I get really frustrated with myself. And on top of that, I'm still loving Dragon Age. Boy, what a... Great, great game. I know. Yeah. I think PC Gamer gave it a Game of the Year last year. Was it
in 2009? I guess.
Yeah,
it's hard to remember. Yeah.
Boy, did it deserve it. I mean, I'm really kind of upset it took me this long to get into it. I just love it for all the stereotypes it shatters. For example, I just got Shale, who I think is he a DLC option? The Golem you can get.
I don't think so. Maybe he is actually. Yeah.
I had to put in some sort of code, but I wasn't sure if that code came with like every copy of Dragon Age or not. Regardless. You know, being a golem, I thought, like every other role-playing game you get, I'm like, me golem, like, smash things. And I was just expecting that stereotype. And, man, he's like the most articulate, he's the most, like, sarcastic character you get. His mannerisms are hilarious. He has these little like things he hates, like he can't stand birds. Mm-hmm. It's just like, and it makes it so just delightful to like to talk to him and be around him. It's like, that I think is why Dragon Age is so amazing, because yeah, they have elves and dwarves, but they made them their own, and yeah. I love that. How they twist everything and make it unique.
The dwarves are
too.
The dwarves are, you know, not terribly honorable. They're pretty backstabbing, very politically minded, sort of, you know, I don't know, like King Lear style.
They're more like mafioso than they are like, you know, like Gimli from Lord of the Rings. Yeah. And again, I think it's just so enjoyable, and you know, playing as a rogue is just, man, I have not had this much fun playing, you know, a fantasy role playing game since probably Arcanum, and even Arcanum wasn't necessarily fantasy role playing. It's just bravo, guys. Dragon Age.
Can we agree that birds are gross?
Birds are just weird, that's all.
They're like little clusters of filth.
They're majestic, and they fly in the sky.
Logan, majestic? That's like putting feathers in poop and like saying, oh, that's majestic.
Logan, did you play Dragon Age, and did you get Shale when you went through it?
I'm just not that much of a fantasy guy.
No, fair enough.
Except
but I was
for
just,
Fantasy Island.
That's not the same fantasy.
That would be an awesome game. You go around solving relationship problems, granting missions.
Right, you know, yeah, there's a bickering couple and they're falling out of love, and then you throw this huge dragon at them, and they solve their problem, and they're like, oh God, I love you again.
I can actually explain why you like Fantasy Island, Logan.
Okay.
It's because you play Ricardo Montalban, whatever his last name is. He's Khan from The Wrath of Khan.
Absolutely.
So there's a side connection. Yes.
From Hell's Heart. Welcome to Fantasy Island.
You could have mini games that you play as Tattoo.
But Logan, the first thing that Shale does after you talk to him and you have a good couple of, you know, you try and convince him to join you, he then steps on a chicken immediately. That's his first response.
Oh, okay. No. Wait a minute. I like chickens, though.
But those are birds, dude.
I know, but that's they have an exemption.
Oh, well,
they're tasty.
Flightless birds are very cool, and chickens are cool, but all other birds are not cool.
That's fair enough, I guess.
Yeah.
Good insight.
You heard it here first.
Logan, how about yourself?
Well, unfortunately, I was looking forward to this, you know, I had time off for the holiday, but I caught the plague in the UK over the holidays, and I came back, and it's been 10 days since I've been back, and I cannot, by the time I get home, I'm so tired, I can't sit up. So I can't sit at my computer and play games, and then my laptop, my beautiful XPS, Dell XPS that I've had for years, that still plays games at 1920 beautifully, something's wrong with it. So I've been stuck with a netbook, and very upset, because I just cannot sit up when I get home. So I have my face on my iPad, or I've been playing No One Lives Forever on my netbook, but that's not a really great experience. Mm-hmm. And so I've just been watching a lot of European horror movies. I really want to play The Ball. I really want to finish, maybe I can't say which one it is, but it's a game that's A Night to Dismember. you see what I did there?
Yes.
I really want to finish that, and I really want to finish Amnesia, and I can't finish any of these things because they involve sitting upright. And I just can't bring myself to do that right now. And I just, if anyone else has had this, can you tell me when it's going to be over? Because seriously, it feels like every single orc in Mordor took a dump in my lungs. Seriously. And
that is a very specific image you came up with.
And they just keep squeezing it out. And I'm tired of it. Because it's just, I wake up and I'm like,
I wonder what kind of fecal matter orcai like exude.
Like, I can tell you, it's sort of greenish yellow.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, you asked. Fitting.
No, you I know. I did ask, and I think that's a very good description.
Yeah, there you have it.
Logan, I'm wondering if you can find an opportunity to combine your horror of horror games and your horror of carbs into a game called Bread Space, where you have like an electric scythe and you're killing like zombie wheat.
Oh, God, it's sourdough! No!
There it is.
It's like Pillsbury Doughboys everywhere.
Texas toast perhaps makes an appearance.
Nice.
Yeah, buddy. Represent.
People are talking about creating insect farms instead of, you know, because they're so nutritious. And I have no problem with that. I love insects. They're delicious. Have you ever had a cricket?
I ate ant butter in survival school.
Yeah, ants are delicious. They're fantastic.
They're bitter as hell, but yeah. You know,
but we need to get rid of carbs. We need to break. Carbs are out. Insects are in.
Do they milk the ants?
Whoa.
No, it's when I say butter, I mean butter in the sense that you just mash up a bunch of ants into a gooey paste in your thumb, and you just suck the paste off your thumb.
Got it. Yeah. Cool.
Worms are good, too. Had a few worms, but those aren't really insects. Or are they? I don't
know. I'm not
sorry,
sure.
That was an aside. My apologies.
No problems. Mr. Brushwood, you've been traveling, but have you found any time on the road?
Yeah, I got into a couple of games. One of them was a gift, so it was a surprise to me, but I started playing Greed Corp, because it was only like $2 on Steam. Have any of you guys played this yet?
I've heard of it.
It's pretty cool. It's a turn-based strategy game, and it reminds me a little bit of DEF CON. Do you remember DEF CON? That was like the...
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty much global thermonuclear war.
But everybody dies.
Exactly. Well, and just like in DEF CON, there was no way to win. You could just be the one who lost the least. That's sort of what Greed Corp is you've got all these hexes that have resources, and resources are money that you extract by essentially pounding down these hexes. And if they pound down far enough, they fall away into nothing. So your land that you control is also your resources, and the more money you extract from the land, the more of your own land you destroy. So the games usually end with like one or two robots standing alone on the last remaining hex. So it's really curious. Like, the more you try to attack, the more you destroy your own stuff. And so it's sort of last man standing. It's brutal, though. If you make a mistake early on, you get totally hosed. But I'm enjoying that one. It's totally worth it. It's full price again now at $10 on Steam. And then the one that I got as in a gift was Back to the Future, the game.
Oh, that's so good.
It was like somebody injected pure joy into my eye sockets.
It was awesome.
I started playing it, and my six-year-old was like, what is this? What is this? And I was like, oh, crap, you've never seen Back to the Future. So I watched the whole trilogy with her on a Sunday, and then went back to playing the game. And it was amazing how many of the little details it got right. I mean, it's pure joy in a game. And it's not very challenging. And it is short because they're releasing, I think it's 5 episodes over the entire year. I can't wait for the next one. Really enjoying it. And of course, Doc Brown is voiced by
Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah, Christopher Lloyd. Mm-hmm. Although you can hear he's getting up there in years. You can tell it's a much older Christopher Lloyd. But the guy who does Marty is dead on. It sounds exactly like Michael J. Fox.
Wow, that's really impressive. I watched the trailer and just the presentation. I mean, it's amazing thing. It's an episodic. I mean, it's what, like $10 or something per episode, maybe.
What it is it's $24.99, and then you subscribe to all of them in advance, and so you'll get them as they come out, which I think is a better way to do it. Because if they just charged me $5 per episode, I'd have to make that decision to buy every few months. But by buying it now, I'm signing up, and now it'll be like just happiness shows up in my inbox.
I agree with you. And I think they can do that now because they have built up a reputation for delivering every single time without fail.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, from all their other series, you know, Sam and Max and you know, everything they've done before, they've delivered everything they've said they delivered, and they delivered it on time. So now they can sell these things in advance, and you know, you won't have the hesitation of buying it. And like Brian brought up, the whole transactional cost of worrying, oh God, do I want to buy this game or not? They eliminate all that. That's fantastic.
I'm also excited about the storytelling they're doing. It's whole new adventures. If you dug the Back to the Future series and you want to know what would it be like if they went back to Prohibition times, then you can I'm so excited for what's about to come out on that same series.
How does Biff sound? Is he pretty good, the voice actor?
He's in there very, very briefly, but you do get to meet a young Doc Emmett Brown before he got into science.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not. I have to have a lot of Biff in there, I think, to make it to playable for me. Now make like a tree and get out of here.
That was pretty good, Chris. That was pretty good.
No, I can't wait to play it either. I love Back to the Future, Brian. So I am like salivating to play this game.
Yeah, I mean, it's really gratifying to hear that arguably games are making as good or better remakes of you know, those classic franchises that Hollywood seems so obsessed with just churning out. Very cool. For myself, you heard about DCUO from me, but I've been jumping back into Wolfenstein, one of my favorite shooters in the past couple years.
Swell.
Like the original Wolfenstein?
No, the 2008.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I totally forgot about that one.
From the underrated Wolfenstein.
Yeah.
That game has some of the best blood decals. I'm just going to say it has the best blood decals I've ever seen in a game. Just, I mean, in that opening sequence, you're in sort of a train station and this thing explodes and, you know, magical stuff gets released. And so there's these Nazis floating in the air and you can just peg them with your MP4.
You don't hear that every day.
Yeah. But
there are these Nazis floating in the air.
And
like weather balloons.
Just the splashes on their body are so generous. Like it's just such an attractive, like,
they are very generous. They give charity events, always holding fundraisers.
Just screaming those Nazis. Too.
Yeah. But I mean, you really feel like they are like fascist jelly donuts that you're shooting.
Really, so they're explodable and delicious.
Yeah, and later on you upgrade your weapons and you are, I mean, the sort of limb deformation is excellent. I mean, you shoot the elbow and the arm just drops off the elbow, the knee, and things like that.
Anti-Semitic Roma tomatoes.
Exactly. I don't know what the price is right now on Steam. It's probably $20 or something.
It's so worth it.
Oh, come
it's
on.
Shouldn't the single click single player campaign is rollicking.
Yeah. The multiplayer is dead. I mean, there's nobody online playing right now, but it's a terrific single player campaign. Even if you don't like games that have, you know, like BioShock style, some of those powers along the side and in parallel that you have to use, it's pretty minimal with those. The weapons are just excellent. If you like Singularity, it's the same developer, so check that out.
Have you guys experienced
popping
that?
Nazi zit?
More analogies.
Have you guys experienced that where you buy a game that you already own on Steam because you just can't be bothered to go try to find it? So just buy another copy.
Yeah, many, many times.
Yeah.
I have 3 copies of Crysis at home and 1 on Steam.
I do it just because I'm compulsive, too, you know? I think I have 4 copies of Star Trek: A Final Unity just because I've gone through used bookstores. I'm like, oh, my God, and I grab it with my tentacle, you know, and just run.
Yeah. I did that with Arma so I wouldn't have to do, download patches off the website so we just automatically update.
Well, have you ever bought a game on Steam just because you're too lazy to find the disc?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Totally.
Fallout. The original Fallout series, which I also have in Good Old Games, which I also have in 2 different CDs and a DVD, and I think I have it somewhere else too.
Is it amazing how well the original Fallout holds up all these years later?
Yeah, it is. It's still a very playable game.
Yep. Like, interface is good. Yep.
I played it all the way through like a year and a half ago, and I was shocked also at the level of voice talent that the original Fallout had.
MacGyver was in it.
CCH Pounder from The Shield was in it.
Lots of great voice actors in it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Richard Dean Anderson played the guy that's in Junktown. I believe,
he looks like Richard Dean Anderson, too.
Yep. There are a lot of others, too. I can't think of them right now, but great voice.
I'm going to find it because I remember being blown. I was so impressed when I was watching the credits go by that I had to jump online and verify them. I'm looking on IMDb right now.
Worf was in the second one, Michael Dorn, but not the first.
He's also in New Vegas.
He is.
It drives me crazy because his voice is too recognizable.
Yeah, it takes you right out of it, doesn't
Hello.
It?
Yeah, I'm like, Worf?
Commander Worf.
Oh, Worf?
Yeah.
Well, what are
you doing here?
Keith David, I guess.
Yes, Keith David.
The original.
Of the
Tony,
thing.
Wow, Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that was one of the surprises.
Damn.
And they're quick bits. Like, they're not, I mean, they're just, they're in there and they're good and they're gone. Like, there's no, you know, overusage. They make very good use of the voice talent they had.
How about a little Brad Garrett from Everybody Loves Raymond, the brother? They're really tall.
Raymond. God.
He's the first one. He's in Fallout 1?
I guess. He plays a guy named Harry. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Harry was the ghoul, dude.
No. With the tree sticking out of his head.
Harry, yeah, remember, because Harry made it in Fallout 3. So anyone who played Fallout 3 and got to Harold, or Harold, depending on which version... That guy actually was in the very first Fallout and Fallout 2 as well.
Man.
It's a trivia.
So you could say he's old ghoul.
See
what I did there, huh?
Huh? Brilliant.
I will be here all week.
All right.
Which is one more day.
Oh, that's true.
See what I did there?
You know what I did? One thing, being sick, this makes it all the much worse, is that as I'm lying in bed looking at the... Because my bedroom's pretty big, and I'm looking at the opposite wall and how far away it is. And all I can think when I'm prostrate is how I missed the dual crossbow pistols on the police auction site because I forgot to set an alarm. And I could have had both for $85, and I could have sat there in bed all day shooting the wall opposite with my.
You know how powerful thing they would have gone through the wall if it's drywall. Those things are strong. They're like armor.
I know. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I could have been doing that all night.
A friend of mine had one of those, and he shot it into the ground, and like he couldn't even dig it up. Like it went so far into the soil.
Oh
so
my god! Lost the bolt, like, makes right me feel it. Even worse.
If you'd like to contribute to Logan's crossbow pistol fund,
right, head on over to TAC 15 tactical crossbow or the wasp knife.
Just head on over to our website. It's probably there to be found. PCGamer.com, of course. Tons of good stuff up there. We posted a Portal 2 hands-on co-op preview this week. Again, the GTA 4 story, some trailers for Dead Space, Magic the Gathering Tactics. Bunch of other news on there. The continued entries of our Minecraft journal. We're up to 20 now on that. It's getting a really good response. People are loving those. So
those are really funny, too.
Yeah. Great stuff from our UK team. So check that out. And again, if you want to leave us a question for next week, it's 877-404-1337, extension 724. We'd love to hear about your experiences in DC Universe Online and what you're up to this week. Thanks again to Brian Brushwood for joining us today, Brian.
Dude, love it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. You're welcome anytime, and glad you're in the area. You're going to be shooting some scam school episodes this week, as I understand.
Yeah, as soon as I'm done here, heading straight to the bar. It's a hell of a gig.
Man.
Evan's heading straight to the bar after this, too, but for different reasons.
Terrific. And if you want to...
I'll bet you the one time I get one of these scams right, that it's going to be some psycho who will stab me in the throat for ripping them off. Yeah. I'll bet you anything. You con artist? The one time I master it, you know?
But you will know. You will have that satisfaction.
Logan, exactly. Right? I'll be like gurgling and drowning in my own blood going, yes!
I did it!
But oh, the trick's on him. You got a dummy throat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Dummy neck. If you guys want to check out Scam School, just head on over to revision3.com/scam school. All right, for the PC Gamer Podcast this week, I'm Evan Lottie. Thanks for joining us, guys. See you next Thursday.
Really want that damn Batman. Actually, Logan, could you take it? It's on Dan's desk. He said I could have it. Can you just go ahead and keep that for me? It's the collector's edition, the Batman statue.
Dan does kind of have an excess.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me check on my. No, my T-shirt doesn't say I'm your bitch.
Oh, you're right. I should have asked Evan.
Yeah.
Sorry, wow. Evan, if you could get on that like right now, sure. That would be super.
Sure.
Thanks, man.